Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Pipes is writing down a lot of stuff. I'm just going to go from the gut. And joining us now, Coach Bielma.
Josh Whitman joining us now.
You get to say all the cool name drops.
Do it.
Brad Underwood, our guest.
College hoops.
How do you lose to Jackson State?
Call up every single person in the media that didn't put Kofi first team All-American. And, I don't know, just play like clown noises.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
Michael Porter Jr. has been good, but he thinks the earth is flat, so I can't pick him.
Oh, boy.
Throw it up to Kofi, and he's just going to tear the rim off.
How is he so good?
All right, Hans, I'm going to mute you for a while.
Okay. So what we want to do is build a same-game parlay that will win all of us some money.
Maybe Rondale Moore could be Cooper Kupp, but he's not.
When we come back, I don't know what we're going to talk about.
If you're going to talk shit, talk shit.
It's 4:40. We haven't taken a break, and Lon's forgotten the text line number.
Woohoo!
Wow, what a bad take.
You mentioned wanting to see this place get their rowdy on for this game and the Purdue game. You got any specific suggestions?
8 o'clock game. I can't say this. But I think there's some fine establishments that a few people could partake in before, and just have fun, man. Have fun. Show up. Have fun. It's going to be an elite college basketball game between two elite programs with rich histories. And they got really good players in the game. And if people can't come enjoy that and have fun and cheer like hell for their home team, man, that's what makes this sport special in these games.
There you go. That is Brad Underwood. Oh, yeah, it's an 8 o'clock tip. And it seems like we've been waiting on this game all year. You know, a lot of times it's the bragging rights game you're waiting for. There's a lot of times maybe a Big Ten ACC game you're waiting for. I think we've all just been waiting for this one today with Illinois and Michigan. It is The Drive with Tay and Piper. I am Lon Tay. He is Derek Piper. Hans D is in the house. We've got him in his cage in the other room. We'll let him out later on today as we get to who you got. Get to focus in on some wild card weekend, which is always fun. I know it's Illinois and Michigan, and I know that I should be ashamed for doing this, but I want to ask you, Pipes, because I know you and I love the NFL, and we are going to talk all about Illinois and Michigan today. Do not think for a second that we will not hammer that down as we get ready for tip-off at 8 o'clock, but what game in this NFL wild card weekend are you looking forward to the most?
I think it's the 49ers and Cowboys.
Yes, that's a good one.
That's a pretty popular one. Actually, the Niners are a popular pick to get the upset
they
on
are.
The road. I'm not so sure. It's a tough game for Dallas and a team that hasn't been the most trustworthy in the playoffs
mm-hmm.
here in recent years, or maybe I was going to say my lifetime. They did win some Super Bowls on the early end.
Early, yeah.
But the Niners playing really good football. I would lean Cowboys because the quarterback advantage of Dak against Jimmy G, but Debo Samuel's been a monster. We know
yes.
that Bosa up front and the Niners pass rush and front seven are really, really good. That's the one that I'm really looking at. And Bills and Patriots as well.
Yeah.
Is another really good one tomorrow night.
That's tomorrow night. I think that's the one that I'm looking forward to the most. Patriots-Bills. It has a little to do with wagering. Because I made a big bet on Buffalo early in the year. So that, don't get me wrong.
That's correct.
That adds some intrigue to this thing. Maybe having to cash out me, you know, halfway through this baby or something. But I'm really looking forward to that because of the division rival kind of thing where you've got big brother New England who's kind of owned the Bills throughout the years, and now all of a sudden the Bills are kind of changing that tune. They win the division this year. They are at home. It's probably going to be cold, right? It should be in Orchard Park. I can't imagine it'd be warm. So I think that's going to be fun, but I'm with you also on that 49ers-Cowboys game. It's interesting because I know Cowboys fans know that I don't like the Cowboys. I don't dislike the fans, obviously. Got a lot of good friends that are Cowboys, but it is one of those, and even a buddy of mine, I'll keep it quiet, who's a Cowboys fan, was like going into that Cardinals game, was like, look, we haven't hardly beaten anybody good. Now, the one thing the Niners have done is played in a, you know, hellacious type of division all season, including that last game against the Rams, you know, to win and get into the playoffs. So that was kind of like a first-round playoff game last week. So I'm with you there. I think that's going to be a competitive game, and I would not be surprised at all if San Francisco comes out on top of that one. Now, I'm leaving my Cardinals-Rams game out because obviously that's the one I'm looking forward to the most. But other than that, it is the Patriots-Bills. If your favorite team was in this thing, the Bears, would you be okay with them playing the final game on the Monday night so that you could kind of enjoy everything and kind of get the setup? Like, for instance, by the time the Cardinals play the Rams Monday night, I will know exactly who the Cardinals will be playing and where should they happen to win the game against the Rams. And I'll let you know in who you got, who I think is going to win this game. But it is kind of a unique, the first playoff game ever on a Monday Night Football. It'll be kind of unique to understand, okay, well, if the Cardinals win, this is what happens. If the Rams win, this is what happens. So that'll be kind of cool to watch and witness Monday night.
I think it's a perfect setup for you to enjoy the full weekend of Wild Card and not let potentially a bad result, as I've last remember when we were in the postseason, last couple of times.
Like that first game Saturday of the Raiders-Bengals.
If that was yours and you lost, you'd just be ticked off the rest of the weekend. And like, I mean, you'd watch probably, but it would ruin some of it to an extent.
There's no doubt.
And also, for me, looking at it with the Illinois basketball schedule, you get Michigan, Illinois tonight, then you get a bunch of NFL, man. Then you get Purdue, Illinois on Monday, and then the finally your game plays on standalone, and there you go.
Should I just basically hide from the world for the next 4 days? That's exactly what I should do. I know Andrew's got a game in Charleston Monday night that I got to get to, so it's one of those where I'm going to either have to not look at my phone at all and then get home and watch that game fresh, or I think I'm just maybe to the point now, because it just hurts my heart, I may just follow along with that game, and if they're winning, I'll go home and watch it, and if they're losing, then I don't know.
I'm just ready for Illinois to be 7-0 in Big Ten play after beating Purdue, and Lon opens with, let's talk some Cardinals and Rams and watch the text line just go ding, 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 ding.
Like it's doing right now, probably, because I'm talking NFL football and the Arizona
Cardinals.
We
got 2 hours.
Oh, man. I cannot wait for this game tonight. Illinois and Michigan. What are you expecting? I mean, we don't even know yet, unless you've been told information, because I haven't seen anything, but I don't sit there and peruse Twitter all day. What are we expecting from this Michigan team? Do you know, in terms of, I don't mean like what you're expecting on how they're going to play, but like literally who's playing? Do we know?
It's funny. I've gone back and listened to Juwan Howard's clip a handful of times, because we even had people on the message board today. Well, Juwan said that it's going to be 7-1 coach. And I didn't get that. We played it a couple of times. I don't know if we played it on air, but we were playing it in the station yesterday and trying to figure that out. I took it as, he said, and here's how his quote goes. He talks about, by the Big Ten standards, you need 7 players and 1 coach.
Okay.
So right now, we have 7 players and 1 coach. So that means to me that we meet the requirement.
Yeah.
And anything beyond that, he's not sharing on who exactly is available and how many people. But there has been a timeline here where Illinois was out a similar amount of time and had everybody, had everybody available. Of course, as we discussed, it could have been a domino effect where it could have been 5 players test positive, then a couple of days later there's more, and that would affect maybe a couple of players. But it is important to note that they had a few guys out the Rutgers game.
Yes, they did.
With COVID.
They had their starting 5, and then they had another
Brandon
guy.
Brandon Johns was out.
Yes.
Terrence Williams was out.
Yep.
And 2 other players. So those guys would be well past the 5 days isolation and be back.
Exactly. It was the guys that played in the Rutgers game that would be the ones maybe on that, which would be Dickinson possibly, Brooks possibly, Houston possibly, Diabate and Dante Scott, or not Dante Scott, but Devontae Jones. Those 5 actually played along with Juwan Howard's son in that game against Rutgers. So I would think that the others that didn't are fine now, and it's maybe more of the starters that were having the issue with COVID, but even now, they should be back as well, I would think.
Yeah, because Saturday, they weren't able to play Michigan State, so they had less than 7 players available at that point. So that would be, if you're doing, it's funny how we're doing the whole math thing on this.
I
think the bottom line is we expect probably to be at full strength. Maybe one guy's out.
Yes.
I don't know. I would think they would be full strength. But I think that at least 6 players would be out to not be able to play, or 6 or 7 or whatever. And by that point, it's been past the 5 days since last Saturday, yep, available to play, and then you get into the whole, well, they could be back but wearing masks, and how many people are actually doing that? I don't know, but bottom line, I think Michigan will be at full strength. That would be my expectation.
I just hope that Hunter Dickinson is available to play, because I know Kofi is, and I can't wait for this match.
Well, I thought both guys last year were elite defensively. I don't think either one of them really scored on each other. You know, Hunter's an elite defender, you know, as is Kofi. They made it very, very hard. You know, it was a game that, you know, we were effective in guarding them. You know, I think we did a really good job on their perimeter players. But you know, Hunter's a good player. He's gonna pop out. They play him really in their big lineup. They play him a lot more as kind of a four than a five, where he's out there passing. He's had a game this year where he was 3 of 3 from the 3-point line in their win against San Diego State. You know, so he's gonna shoot threes. He's gonna shoot 15, 17 footers, and you know, I would expect him to play out there, try to draw Kofi away if that's the matchup we go with at times, and you know, then put an isolation down low. But they've tried to do that in multiple games, and I wouldn't expect this one to be any different.
I have a crazy question for you, Derek Piper. Now, obviously, when Hunter Dickinson is on the court and Kofi's on the court, they're going to guard each other for the most part. And we know last year that Kofi got the better of Hunter. We assume that may happen again. Of course, Hunter Dickinson's really good. He has the ability to do some damage himself. So we'll see what happens. But the one thing that Michigan likes to do, and I had noticed this the last time I played, and then when I read your article on Illini Inquirer, you pointed it out as well, is they like to post Diabate underneath, who is what, about 6'10", 6'11"?
6'10 or 6'11", yep.
So now you start thinking, okay, well, if Coleman Hawkins is in the game, then I'm comfortable with that because he can match height-wise and all of that. But, of course, if DeMonte's on him, you know, there is a major height difference there. Or Grandison, who's what, 6'9"? Little bit of a height difference.
6'7".
6'7". Yeah, he's not 6'9". So you're still talking about a little bit of a... Would it be one of those deals where Illinois, because we know Dickinson likes to go out to the perimeter, and as you noted in your article, he has shot probably too many threes, but he can do that, and he can hit the mid-range jumper as well, and we understand that Kofi's gotten better, but he's not an elite, let me use a Brad Underwood term, defender when it comes to a big man going out on the perimeter. Is there a way Illinois could switch on that to where if Dickinson posts low, Kofi's all over him, but if Dickinson then fires out and they try to post Diabate, that either DeMonte, Coleman, Grandison, one of them just switch with Kofi to guard Dickinson on the perimeter, or is that too hard? Now, we watch basketball all the time, and you see guards that are quick. They can switch on the perimeter and still catch up and get a hand in the face. I don't know how quick big men can do that, especially like a Kofi Coburn. So do you think that's something that... I'm going to watch for that a little bit tonight. Or do you think I'm overthinking it and you just put Kofi on Dickinson and let him hang on him the entire time?
I did have the same thought, if at times you could have Kofi drop when you're noticing, okay, here comes the high-low. Now, at that point in time, if Kofi's going to say, all right, I'm leaving Dickinson, the ball is in his hands, is Dickinson going to fire?
Right.
And if he's making that shot, he went 3 for 3 from three against San Diego State, so really his... three-point numbers are a little skewed to one game. He's 5 for 19 from three on the season.
Oh,
so
wow.
Outside of that game, he has taken too many threes.
Yeah.
He has not made that at a high clip.
Okay.
Now he's hit the mid-range at a pretty decent rate, so that's something you got to watch out for. But I do wonder if Illinois could try that at times, but mostly I think it's just going to be Kofi stay on Dickinson, because it's not like Kofi can really maybe react all that quickly.
I agree.
And then if all of a sudden he's on Diabate like flares out to the perimeter or stays on a baseline and they put Dickinson on the other block, could they post up then Grandison or DeMonte? I'd wonder about that. But I see Diabate as a potential matchup problem.
Yeah.
I think that against Illinois starting five, him posting up DeMonte or posting up Grandison is kind of a problem.
Okay.
And he's not some bruising type.
No, he's not.
Like he's long and lanky.
He's
and
like
6'11".
Coleman, kind of, right?
Yeah, he's
kind of
like Coleman. He reminds me a little bit of like Jaren Jackson at Michigan State a handful of years ago. He's very athletic.
Yes.
And he's good on the offensive glass. So even if he's not getting the ball, if Grandison's trying to box him out, that would be something that I would worry about him going up and over him. This is a big, bottom line, this is a big game for Coleman.
He's
got a big spotlight on him now for having a couple of comments to say about that. But him staying out of foul trouble, him boxing out Diabate is going to be key. So I would look for him to play a good handful of minutes. I know that the flip side and some of the Atlanta fans have brought up on our board, and I think it's fair, you do have to then flip it around the other way and Diabate guarding Grandison or Demonte in the perimeter.
Point.
Now, he's athletic. Like,
yeah.
It's not like it's Dickinson chasing around a shooter or anything. He can move.
And he's got arm length.
And he's got
wingspan, you know.
For sure. But, of course, then you have that working for you at the other end potentially. So it's an intriguing matchup. I just think that Coleman probably needs to play extended minutes, and he has to be pretty good tonight.
I'm picturing Brad Underwood running home real quick to grab a bologna sandwich, because I'm sure he does that before every game, and then running back and listening to us and laughing at me saying, Lon, do you really think I want my big man Kofi switching and trying to do that? It might just be simply that Kofi, you take the chance that Dickinson isn't hitting that outside shot early. And if he is, then you make the adjustment, right? Then you decide, okay, we can't continue to let him shoot outside at a pace to where we're not covering him and he's making these at 60%. But I think you maybe let him do that a couple of times. And if he doesn't hit those early ones, then it kind of works for yourself in the sense that, well, maybe he's not comfortable to keep taking these, and now we've got him where we want him. So it'll be interesting to see. Now, the one thing on the other end, like you pointed out, is Illinois shooting. The shooting has gone down a little bit. We've talked about Plummer, and you noted that in your article as well, that it would be nice to see Plummer kind of get off and start knocking down some threes at a more regular pace than he has been since Big Ten play started, especially the second phase of Big Ten play started in January. That is something I think Brad Underwood even has noticed with regards to his team shooting from the outside and how big that'll be to change that.
Nothing's changed on our end. It's probably has a little more to do with what our opponents do. You know, I go back to Minnesota, they changed their defense against us. You know, instead of going under every ball screen, you know, all of a sudden they're changing, they're at the level of, you know, we've seen different things with Plummer. We've seen single coverages and not leaving him. Okay. W in the left column. So take your pick your poison, and you know, those opportunities are going to come. Plum missed a couple, two or three threes that he's never going to miss at Nebraska the other night. But but again, when we needed him, Jake got one. Demonte got one. Ball touched the paint. Trent made good pass. Jake Plummer made a great pass to Jake, and so it's all. I don't worry about it. You know, if we take 30 of them, and we're gonna make a bunch, and if we take 14 of them, I think we're gonna make our fair amount as well. So, just what the defense gives us.
There you go. And the great thing about Illinois, and we have discussed it plenty this week, we've discussed it plenty overall, is the idea that you got to pick your poison, because this team can get fired up from the outside in terms of lighting it up, and you also know that the given is there with Kofi. You know the double-double given is there. You want it to be a little bit better than what it was against Nebraska, but again, I still laugh to this day about, well, 16-13, he's got to play a lot better now. But you're just like, oh, okay, yeah, we take for granted. But, you know, I think it's just one of those where Dickinson has the height. He's a fairly stocky kid, too, so he's not just all lanky to where he can body a little bit Kofi, but there's nobody that can body Kofi like that. I mean, you just can't. Not many.
No. Edie can probably lean on him
Edie
and
can.
Not move
Good
all
call.
That much, because he is just absolutely enormous. I do think Illini fans forget that Kofi didn't dominate Dickinson offensively.
No.
Now, he finished with a decent stat line of 12-7, and the fact that Dickinson went 1-8 was the notable part of it. It was
right.
Like Dickinson couldn't do anything against Kofi, and with his back to the basket, really couldn't get where he wanted to go or carve out any space. But Dickinson, for the most part, I remember I was at the game, and the fact that they just were, you know, trading paint, no one was really doing
not
a whole
doing
lot.
Much.
That was kind of my memory of that one. But obviously the stat line bared out that Kofi had the advantage, and I would expect him to have the advantage tonight. And I think that if the shot-making can open up around Kofi, and you think at home usually teams shoot better, I wouldn't be surprised. Plumbers do, let's be honest.
I mean, I agree.
He's 8-26 in his last two games. He's due to fire some off tonight. And really, guards have hurt. We can talk more about this as we go along. Guards have hurt this Michigan team. You look Geo Baker at a season high 27. UCF went bombs away, and two guards combined to go 53 points in the game before that. So I look for Trent to be aggressive, Plummer, Grandison to maybe hit from the outside. But it is true, as Brad was alluding to, teams are going to stay on the outside. Even teams like a Minnesota or a Nebraska who didn't say, hey, we got a guy that can handle Kofi with the size and comparable body type. Michigan has that with Dickinson, so they'll probably try to stay airtight on the perimeter.
I totally agree with you on all that. So, well, listen, this is going to be fun tonight. I cannot wait. I'm going to be there. I'm excited to watch this thing. I know you're going to be there. Trevor's going to be there. Hansi will be there. We've got everybody there.
Anybody who's anybody
is there. We need a red carpet. We need a red carpet. Like Pipes comes down first with Haley. She's a little bit pregnant, so, you know, she's got the glow. Nobody cares about you. They're taking pictures of her. Then there's Hans and like three just hot chicks. And nobody knows who they are. He's just a pie. He's got his pilot glasses on. And then I just come
down. They're fresh out of cams.
Yeah, exactly. Trevor walks down. You know, maybe he takes his grandma because she's awesome. So then everybody's wanting to know who that grandma is, and she looks great. And then there's me with a Bud Light just kind of like, hey, what's up? You know, we need this. We need the red carpet.
It would be fun.
That would be cool. We need the red carpet at State Farm Center. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Barry Lunny Jr., new offensive coordinator for Illinois, scheduled to join us around 4:45. So excited to get a chance to meet him. We won't talk to him very long, but I just want to ask him, like, what do you do now? Like, you just show up at the office and watch YouTube? I'm kidding. I know he doesn't. So I just want to kind of, you know, because he really hasn't had a chance to meet everybody, or maybe he has, but you can't get too nitty gritty with him because I don't know how much he has really met. I'm sure he's watching a lot of film. But, you know, he watched this team up close and personal. So I just want to ask him that. So we're scheduled to talk to him at 4:45. When we come back, we got to play it again, the Coleman Hawkins soundbite. And then I'm going to let Derek get nitty gritty with Michigan and tell you what to expect from this Michigan Wolverine squad, as long as we know everybody is there. We're back. It is The Drive.
Get in the zone when you watch the game with fans. Order Jets Pizza for the win. Detroit-style pizza with a hand-pressed dough, four-corner, crispy, cheesy crunch, freshly grated mozzarella, Mama Jet's secret sauce baked to perfection. Your party will be lit as you keep everyone happy with the wings, subs, and salads from Jets Pizza. Enjoy the game with all the fixings from Jets Pizza. Jets Pizza, better because it has to be. Visit JetsPizza.com.
Hi, this is Gina from ABC Heating and Air Conditioning. If you own a locally owned family business to help you always be comfortable, who have trained, talented, licensed, and experienced technicians, then call me to schedule an appointment. We'll check your furnace to make sure it'll keep you warm this winter. And just like our name, ABC, you will always be comfortable.
Call Gina today at 217-352-5400 or visit them online at abcheatingandac.com. That's abcheatingandac.com.
Hey, Illini fans, Pia's has their fan bus from Star Limousines getting you to and from the State Farm Center for all Illini home basketball games. The first 44 fans to get a ticket to ride free as you enjoy the mix and match buckets of Light Coors Light, Dos Equis beer, and Twisted Teas to, of course, wash down the Slugger Burger or delicious pulled pork sandwiches. Get to 1609 West Springfield Avenue, with the shuttle leaving at least a half hour before tip-off. Enjoy being dropped off in the Circle Drive at State Farm Center and taking back to Pia's to celebrate a win after the game. Plus, there's fun raffles and giveaways for all Illini fans. If you don't have a ticket to the game, watch it with your friends at Pia's, and they want to let you know, go Illini.
I've got to clean out this garage. Let's see. What's the cheapest and easiest dumpster service in our area?
Here's what I found. The doggy bag.
Think she's broken. I'm not looking for takeout. Siri, try again.
The doggy bag from Bulldog Disposal in Mahomet.
Doggy bag? What's that?
If you got junk that needs to go, but you don't want the hassle of having an enormous dumpster delivered, grab a doggy bag, keep it as long as you need. They'll come take it away. For more information, just visit BulldoggyBag.com.
That's BulldoggyBag.com.
Hello, my name is Dr. Mary Ann Fisher. I am from OSF Healthcare. And as we're getting into the new year, plan on accomplishing new goals. If you want to start small, begin one thing over and over again, and then when you're able to do this, then you want to try to stay consistent. Behavioral change is really difficult to do. Stick with it, add to it, make it longer. Before you know it, all the bad habits will slowly go away. Focus on the process and not the outcome. You want to eat well. You want to be active. You want to have a good, healthy sleep. You want to reduce your stress, and you want to reach out to friends, family, to find ways that is right for you and is going to help you accomplish your goal. Doing all this stuff will help you change your bad habits and improve on gaining good habits to help you improve on your lifestyle. For more details, you can visit our website at oshealthcare.org.
Hey kids, want to hear a scary story? It was a dark and stormy night, and suddenly, from out of nowhere, a noise. It was a company's hard drive failing after being struck by an IT disaster. Kids, where'd you go?
It might not sound scary, but over 90% of small businesses fail within 2 years after being struck by an IT disaster. Let Area-Wide Technologies in Champaign design a recovery plan for you. Give them a call at 359-8041.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Lon Tay and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Last year, it didn't hit me until, you know, we didn't get to play them right away and they had to reschedule some games. But definitely now, there's definitely a hatred, as I feel like we should have another Big Ten banner hanging our rafters, but it's not there. But I definitely, you know, with the way they talk on social media, the way our fans talk about them, I definitely feel a strong hatred and rivalry between them.
How important will that Kobe Hunter matchup be tomorrow?
It'll be very important. I think it's just going to send a message to, you know, all the people who try to put them in the same two category. I think Kofi's a way much more dominant player. I think better defender, better feet. But I think it's going to be a huge matchup. But at the end of the game, I think people will understand that Kofi's probably the most dominant college basketball player.
Coleman Hawkins. Any blowback from that today from Brad Underwood at the presser? Like, hey, guess what, guys? You just talked to Coleman Hawkins for the final time.
I was joking with Trevor in the second hour yesterday. The elevator sound.
No, I heard you. I heard you say that.
Made me think of Brad coming down and be like, all right, Coleman, you're done.
He's like Speedy Gonzalez down the elevator. Oh, man. You even said going in, you're like, ooh, Coleman Hawkins is going to meet with us. He's not afraid to kind of say what he feels.
No, and he taunted Michigan. I forget who they lost to earlier in the season, and he tweeted something out, and he's been active on social media. He's usually a guy that tells you what he thinks, which we appreciate.
Yeah,
and
why not?
Just out of confidence and swagger about him. He'll be mixing it up with somebody tonight. I don't know who it'll be, if it'll be Dickinson himself or someone sent to let him know that he shouldn't have said that. I don't know, but he will be involved tonight.
Well, another one on the U of I Atlanta Lake text line. Mike asks, hey, guys, what are the odds of DeMonte getting in a tussle with someone tonight? I mean, listen, you have to
parlay it with something. You couldn't just bet it flat. It would be like minus 250 or something.
I agree.
You wouldn't make a lot of money on it just on its own.
He'll get chippy. He'll get chippy.
Yes.
Tonight. There's no doubt about that. Lewis says, I really hope Dickinson takes an early three and makes it, because then he'll keep shooting him. That's a great way to look at that, because I had mentioned, you know, if he doesn't make it, then we'll know that he's not going to keep shooting and we don't have to worry about guarding it. But it's a good point, as long as he doesn't continue to make them. I mean, if he wants to make one out of four, I'm okay with him taking the next three, I guess.
I could see that.
Yeah, I could too.
I think he's going to take them regardless. He's going to take a handful.
Yeah. He doesn't want to go down and bang with Kofi. Would you?
No.
Even if he thinks he's better than Kofi, I still wouldn't want to go down and bang with him. A 217, what if Payne checks in? How does that factor with Dickinson? It's a good question. He's no Kofi, Omar Payne, but he can alter shots better probably than Kofi, I would assume, in terms of blocking. I don't know about just altering.
Kofi can alter a lot of shots just because of his sheer size. But, I mean, Omar can get up and block a shot, but I could also see Dickinson schooling him with a couple of pump fakes, etc. Mm-hmm. So that worries me a little bit with Omar Payne getting in.
You'd wonder if Omar might be a little excitable in a big game
Or a good point.
I think Omar, and I know this, we saw that in the Nebraska game, much better in like pick and roll coverage, helping out on a guard going to the rim. You would much prefer Kofi, especially with someone like Dickinson or Edie trying to carve out that space, because Omar's not that thick. Like, he's got the long arms, and he could contest Dickinson's shots. Don't get me wrong. He could block one off the backboard and have whatever Orange Crush show up or the sold-out crowd going crazy and loving it. But that would be something that you'd look for in terms of a matchup, or they will slide also Diabate to the five when Dickinson's out. Maybe it's Diabate versus Payne for some moments as well. I think that Omar defensively is going to be fine. I think he's taking a good amount of strides there, and that's a strength of his game right now. You just wonder offensively if he's what he's going to bring.
359-2255, if you want to weigh in on the text line. We're hammering Hunter Dickinson here, and for good reason. The guy scores a lot of points, does a lot of good things for Michigan, but what else do we need to look for on this Michigan team? You've got an Eli Brooks kid that is very experienced. He's kind of the Trent Frazier, if you will, of Michigan. He can hit the three at a pretty good rate. He's bouncy, I guess. Defensively, I think you can take advantage of him, but certainly, he's been a guy that's not going to shy away from a big shot. What else do we have on that Michigan team?
It'll be interesting to see what Devontae Jones shows up.
That could be a big one.
Because he had, late in December, was starting to figure it out at three straight games, scoring in double figures. But in Big Ten play, they've only played three games, so it's still a small sample size. Averaging from a guy that went 19 a game at Coastal Carolina to now about 6.5 a game against Big Ten opponents. So
which is a lot of times what happens with those guys,
exactly.
Right?
We talked about it yesterday, Mark Allstork.
Yeah.
There's been a handful of examples. And he was scoreless in 31 minutes against Rutgers. And that was not something that they're looking for in terms of him being able to. Because when he's at his best, he's a thicker point guard, about 6'1", 200 pounds, can use his physicality going to the basket. He has kind of a set shot from three, so he needs space to be able to get that thing off. If you go under his screens and leave him open for whatever reason, he can knock that down and make you pay for that. Brooks, like you said, just very, very solid and savvy. Started more than 80 games at Michigan. Not afraid to make a clutch shot. There's just more of a focus on him. Like, he was a very good role player last year.
Right.
And you would, if you were going through their starting five, you'd say, okay, Franz, Livers, Dickinson, Mike Smith, and really Eli was that other guy who probably might have got left for an open shot. He's more of a guy you circle. And Caleb Houston is very talented. Mm-hmm. I know you look at his numbers and you're like, okay, is he a bust or is he going to figure it out at all? In their losses, he's been terrible from three. And really, his last four games, I had the stat here.
He's skilled.
He is.
I mean, 6'8", he can rebound.
Talented.
He can bring the ball up the court in transition. I don't mean just dribble the ball up the court. And if he gets going from the outside, I know you're going to bring the stat up to show what happens when he doesn't, but he's got the ability. I mean, he's going to be really good. And for a true freshman, he shows a lot of skill out on that basketball court. And he's the kind of kid that could pop you for 16.
He could. He's 2-for-15 from three in his last four games.
Mm.
In their losses, he's 5-for-29 from deep. So him not getting going from beyond the arc. And that was really, you profiled there that he's got more to his game than he's not just a shooter. That was thought to be the most elite skill for him, just being someone that's 6'8" on the wing that can stroke it at a high level. But he can also do some things off the dribble. And you look at Illinois from a matchup perspective, we talked about bigger wings and the fact that Illinois doesn't really have that. Maybe his size, whether he's going to take or try to take Demonte off the dribble or try to shoot over him, we'll see that. I think not allowing him to get comfortable early, because that was something, and maybe it was just Nebraska making shots, but Illinois was not disruptive early.
No.
Nebraska put up a quick 16 on them in the first couple of minutes.
The young man,
the lefty
made a couple of deep threes.
So if you just tip your hat to him on that one.
Yes.
If Houston does that early, you'd be like, oh, is this the breakout game for him? And not allowing him to get confidence. I think that's important, as Michigan's going to definitely feel that crowd, you know, potentially an early punch from an Illinois team that's been waiting forever to see them again.
Yes.
And if that goes that direction, I think that this Wolverine squad will be reeling.
Providing everyone is there. Both rosters, everyone's ready to go. Jeremy Warner used to laugh at me when I'd do the who's guarding whom. But you've got Kofi and Dickinson. I assume early you've got Coleman. Does he start? Probably not.
He could,
so
but
does Grandison check
not.
Diabate early? Yep. How then do you arrange it from there? Do you put Plummer on Brooks and Frazier on,
yes, on
Jones,
Devontae Jones,
right? Okay, which would then leave
Demonte on Caleb Houston.
On Caleb Houston. Okay.
And Demonte could be physical with him, and that's something that reading the Jeff Borzello article that you referenced yesterday of what's going on with Michigan,
right,
some of the opposing coaches were saying Houston's got a ton of talent. It's just you can kind of push him around a little bit and not doesn't have the physical strength quite yet. And Demonte's been here for a while to build that thing up.
I like it. A 651 on the text line said if they really want to amp up the atmosphere, they should have Dickinson's remarks about the Illinois fan base from Big Ten media days playing on a loop on the big screen before the game and at select timeouts. I like that idea. And then just give the stand up and shout. Do they do that at basketball?
I don't think I've seen that.
No, I don't go to very often, you know, to basketball games often, but I'm going to be there tonight.
They've reserved that for football.
Okay. Okay. Just for me.
Just for you.
Because it's right there in my face. Right. Down at the, right
blasting
there.
Blasting your eardrums, which is why you have the headset so far turned up now in the radio show.
Because I cannot hear anything.
Did you see, though, the Russell Westbrook? What the in-arena announcer did, the cold as ice.
Oh, no.
Oh.
I saw another okay, you go with yours, and I'll saw the tweet. I'll tell you the tweet I saw from regarding Russell Westbrook's shooting.
So he shot, like, 2-for-15 from the field against the Kings. He's been in a real rut shooting-wise. And after every miss, they played cold as ice.
Oh.
You're as cold as ice after every miss. It was pretty savage to do.
That's awesome.
And some kind of
getting in his head.
Yeah. Did that? You could do something like that to Dickinson or Houston if you wanted to. I don't know.
That would be awesome. Usually they don't do that as much at college.
No, no.
But in the NBA or whatever, professionals, it's all golden. You can do what you want. So the tweet I saw this morning was a picture of JFK.
Yeah.
And he's got gray hair and he's older. And, of course, you know, as we know, JFK, unfortunately, was shot and killed. But there's a picture of him really old and said what JFK would look like now if Russell Westbrook was the shooter.
Man.
I mean, that's really cold.
Oh, man, really
but I was
cold.
Like, that, you know, I mean,
it was kind of funny.
I sat there and I read that and I'm like, man, Westbrook must be on a real bad whatever right now. Not heater, the opposite of heater. So, yeah, it was interesting. Hans, are you wanting to talk? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, yeah. And his misses are just horrid.
Are they really?
Yeah, they made a whole highlight reel of him missing, and they're just nowhere near hitting the rim.
Does he still get double-doubles every game? Remember the 1 year he had a double-double like every game?
Oh, he was triple-doubling.
Or triple-double. He was Big O. Oscar Robertson there. Yeah, the guy's got a lot of talent, obviously. I mean, just or athletic ability. But, yeah, he's just not shooting the ball very well.
But maybe if you could slip in the clip of Dickinson saying, nobody, and I mean nobody, likes Illinois.
Oh! I think it's a great idea.
Do that. Play Zombie Nation. Let it go.
Boom. And boom, you're ready to go. Well, this is going to be fun tonight. We're going to talk more about it. We do have Who You Got coming up next hour. And, of course, a look at those NFL wild card games. I know the Underwoods will be in serious mode. I bet there won't be practice Sunday night. They'll get a lot of their practice done Sunday so that Tyler and Brad can sit down and watch the Chiefs. Do you think they actually can with Purdue coming up at 11 a.m.? I mean, isn't there a point as a coach you have to just finally be like, okay, I got to get away from all of this for 2 hours and eat dinner and watch the Chiefs. Throw a frozen pizza in, sit down, and or throw a Jets or go grab a Jets pizza, sit
or
down and just, yeah, or just something and watch this game. And just relax and get my mind off of basketball for 2 or 3 hours.
I think you could do that.
I think so, too.
Your schedule, I'm going to watch this much film of Purdue.
He's got all day Sunday.
Kind of geared up and like, all right.
Well, he's got all day Saturday. Right?
Yeah, true.
That's true. So, yeah, why not?
I will say Kylan Boswell will also be playing on ESPN2 at that time.
Oh, really?
Against Jeremy Fears.
Really? Can we
so
still
Brad get, might have split screen or not split screen, but multiple screens.
Can we still get Kylan Boswell?
Yeah.
We're one of eight, right? Is that right?
Correct.
Eight teams. Yep. Okay. All right. All right, listen, when we return, Barry Lunny Jr., new Illinois offensive coordinator, is going to join us. Get a chance to meet him for the first time after we heard the press conference, of course. We'll do that next. Quick break. Back with Coach Lunny Jr. after this. It is The Drive.
Bad hair day? Bad day at the office? Bad day behind the wheel? Hey, stuff happens, even to the best of us. At least your car insurance rate doesn't have to take a hit. Get Erie Rate Lock from Erie Insurance. Gives you a great rate that stays put until you change a car, driver, or your address. Plus, seriously good service. Now that's something to smile about.
Your Erie agent in Champaign is Thomas & Eller's Insurance. Get a quote at 217-356-2400.
Barry Rate Lock does not guarantee continued insurance coverage and is not available in all states.
College basketball season is finally here. Gear up to support your Fighting Illini basketball team at the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, Game Day Spirit. From basketball jerseys to t-shirts and NIL merchandise, Game Day Spirit is the one-stop shop for all Illini basketball fans this season. Shop with them in-store in Champaign at the corner of Neal and Kirby, in Campustown at the corner of 6th and Green, or online at GameDaySpirit.com. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
Hey, this is Ben from the Humble Hog in Paxton. If you're listening and you've never been to a true barbecue joint, you need to stop a minute and come check it out. It's all about the local meat. It's all about the preparation. So aside from the typical barbecue offerings of brisket and pulled pork, turkey, we also offer our own spin on a few non-traditional sandwiches. You can also find our fine products in some of Central Illinois' best grocery stores. Stop by and check us out. That's Humble Hog, BBQ.com.
Piz has your ride to and from the State Farm Center for home basketball games. Great food like the Slugger Burger or Big Pulled Pork Sandwich. Mix and match with buckets of beer and Twisted Tea. Enjoy Dos Equis, Light, and Coors Light beer before and after the Illini games. Get to Piz early. The first 44 fans will get a bus ticket for the Star Limo to drop you off at the Circle Drive, leaving 30 minutes before tip-off. Plus, there's Illini Game Day raffles. Piz Sports Bar, 1609 West Springfield Avenue in Champaign. Go Illini.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Derek Piper. Those guys on the East Coast, they love giving you a little Piper.
I like it.
Yeah, you don't mind that, do you?
No.
All right, it is The Drive with Tay and Piper. I'm Lon Tay. He is Derek Piper. Hans D is here for a little Who You Got. Trevor Valise out of here. He went to eat early. He's heading to the game. Right now, we're going to welcome in new Illini offensive coordinator. You can follow him on Twitter. He's got a lot of followers. It's at Barry Lunny Jr. Joining us now on the Dick Van Dyke Appliance World phone line. Coach, how are you, sir?
Hey, fellas. I'm doing great.
Great.
I like the... The shout out on the Twitter account. I got some followers.
Well,
I've gained a few. I promise you, the last few days of since this transition, I've gained a fair amount of them.
I love it. You're over 30,000. I noticed today. I'm like, well, yeah, that guy. Hey, do we always use Junior?
Well, you know, we do. Okay. No, you know, I guess it kind of comes and goes. It's kind of strange.
If you're in trouble,
you know. Yeah, well, when my mom's involved, it's definitely there. Barry Jr., I need to talk to you. You know, and so it can be a little bit confusing sometimes because my dad was a coach, for so long in the state, and then I was in the state, so inevitably we would get intertwined sometimes, and occasionally people call him, they're trying to call me, and vice versa. But it's certainly a name I'm proud to wear. And
amen.
You know, to be affiliated with my dad and the character and the success he had in his career, to be, I don't know, call him the real Coach Lunny. I don't know if that's fair to say. I think we're both real, but
I guess
to be the second Coach Lunny.
There you go. I love it.
Coach, I know you met with the media a couple of days ago. I think we played some sound from that on the radio.
Yep.
What have these last few days been like for you, and what's the initial steps as you settle into this position?
Well, it's been a whirlwind, as you all can imagine. It's been... nonstop adrenaline for the last however many days, ever since this really kind of unveiled the opportunity over a week ago, I guess. And so it's been exhilarating. It's been fun. It's been really exciting. And so, you know, beyond it being hectic and, full of energy, it's been, my primary focus has been to get accustomed to, to get affiliated and get to know some of our players here. You know, I've reached out to some of them and slowly and surely beginning to start connecting with some of them, because ultimately those are the ones that, man, do they matter. I mean, this is a player's game, and I'm anxious about getting to know them. And then the secondly, you know, this focus has been shifting towards recruiting. And, you know, where, as we start getting recruiting opens back up here the next few days, is, you know, where can I help? Where do we need to, who do we need to go see? How can coaches use me to help connect with players? And then obviously within the quarterback realm of getting to, you know, get active in the recruiting realm of that.
As you and Brett talked about this position and just kind of the vision for what the offense will look like, you mentioned their personnel base, that's some things you're going to have to work out, but what were maybe some key points of what you want the Illinois offense to look like and be about?
Well, I think, you know, the biggest thing is a certain sense of identity, of physicality, right? I mean, that's what we want. That's what I believe in. That's obviously what Coach B believes in. And so it starts with the running game and being physical up front. Now, you know, you can run the ball a bunch of different ways. There's a bunch of different schemes to run the ball. So when you say physicality, I mean, physicality goes across all position groups, right? So, I mean, you're on the perimeter and the blocking on the perimeter with wideouts, the way that, you know, running backs finish the run, tight ends, the strain and the effort. So it goes across all position groups of being a physical, having a physical identity on offense. And so that goes through the running game. So, you know, it's always going to start there. Now, what does that look like? You know, as far as the exact runs and the right schemes and all those types of things. I mean, you know, our room and the coaching staff here, we've all been exposed to most of the runs that are out there. We got to find the right runs that fit us.
Sure.
And so we want to be physical and run the football and then hopefully build around that through play action, and which creates more opportunities on the perimeter to be more one-on-one. It's the best you can get, right? So tell the quarterbacks, it's like Gillette, it's the best a man can get. One-on-one, let's go win.
Barry Lunny Jr. is our guest, new Illinois offensive coordinator. Follow him on Twitter, at Barry Lunny Jr. He joins us on the Dick Van Dyke Appliance World phone line. It's unique that you played against Illinois this past season here at Memorial Stadium with UTSA. What can you learn from that? I guess you got kind of an up-close view. I know you were more worried about beating Illinois' defense then, but what were you able to, you know, see there, and how does that kind of help you as you take over and try to get to know this squad, especially offensively?
Well, I think that's a real fair question. And I've had other people ask me that, and obviously the lens that I had was very different than the one I'm looking through now.
Sure, no doubt.
And you mentioned it, right? So I'm looking through the lens of how can we, you know, what we're going to see defensively and whatnot, and what the overall team feel was going to be. And certainly we're proud to be a part of that win. We caught Illinois at the exact right time. We had an excellent football team last year, one of the better group of five teams in the nation. I think everybody knows that. And we caught Illinois at the exact right time, off to a huge high after beating Nebraska. And so, you know, we're proud to be a part of that W, obviously, but I think really probably most the biggest thing, and to a large degree, is that as I transition here, is I think with a lot of these players, I think they appreciate what we accomplished and respected the way we played the game. And so I think there's a certain sense of credibility that gives me as I step foot here in this building. And I think that's a real positive thing.
Good call.
Because, you know, when you think of the Big Ten West, kind of got that rock 'em, sock 'em, robots type of deal with Iowa, Northwestern, and the type of football that Brett Bielema has played at Wisconsin and now here at Illinois. But your offense also had, you mentioned taking shots offensively in the passing game, and you had a dual threat quarterback last year at UTSA. How do you personally think about blending the physicality and the running identity with also maybe some of the more maybe modern stuff in the college game, or just having some different dynamics to it?
Well, I think part of that happens vicariously through the way we're playing, maybe in the shotgun a little bit more, you know, so when you're in the gun, there's some things that open up offensively that may not open underneath the center. We're going to be underneath the center. There's a certain element of that I think that it's critical for your success. There's certain run schemes that are better, certain play actions that are better, but and by and large, I think we're going to be more in the gun a little bit more. And so when you do that, you know, it now maybe helps you block an extra defender, right? By being in the gun, looking at the extra guy that's plugging the box, and gives you some options to maybe take some stress off the offensive line and the run game. And certainly if you have a quarterback that's, you know, able to pull the ball and run it, that's a bonus, but it's not necessary. You know, it's not, that's who we played with at UTSA, but it wasn't necessary by design. That wasn't us going out and recruiting a guy to play in exactly in that system. It was an example of us, you know, building our system around the personnel that we inherited, sure, that we had there. And And so I think that's going to be important that we do the same thing here. We're going to, you know, look and identify what we have and who we have and put our best 11 guys on the field and whatever that grouping looks like and formation looks like. Then we'll just kind of build it with kind of reverse engineering, so to speak. So it could look at various, amount of ways as far as how we execute that. But the core principles can never be compromised.
Last one for you, Coach. I know that you got asked about the quarterback position, which a lot of fans have been trying to get right for a lot of years. To see it get right. What do you look for? And you mentioned it there. If you can add the legs to it, maybe not a requirement, but what's important to you in that quarterback room and finding the right guy to lead that offense?
Well, I think it's probably the one thing that you can't put your finger on, right? That you can't put in words, that you can't measure. It's that it factor, right? It's just that the factor to be decisive, to lead, to play with poise. And, obviously from a physical standpoint, man, I mean, you got to be able to have a guy that can deliver the ball accurately.
Yes.
Whatever that throw is, accurately and on time. And then you look for, after accuracy and timing and rhythm, you look for somebody that maybe can add arm strength to that, to where the ball's in the air less amount. Maybe you can push the ball down the field a little bit longer. I don't think I have the market corner on that evaluation by any stretch of imagination, but I think you know it when you see it, and you just got to keep hunting and pecking and until you find that right combination of the guy that you're looking for. And then in the meantime, and we very well may have that on campus, you know, as I get to know that, I think there's a strong likelihood that we have a guy or two that can really help us, play in this system, excel. But it's my job ultimately to build around the strengths of the quarterback, get to know them and help them play with confidence and, hopefully that will help facilitate, moving the ball and scoring points.
Man, when it comes to football, time of possession, man, that's my heart right there. I love the time of possession. I loved when Bielma was hired because I think he's going to be that guy. But you just spoke right to Derek Piper's heart with accuracy because that's what he's been asking for 3 years. So I think you just nailed that. Now, Coach Lunny, this may go over really bad. I don't know how this is going to work, so I'm going to try to play something. Can't hear it. It's the pig Suey.
I can vaguely hear it. Yeah.
You were an Arkansas quarterback. How many times did you hear that down there? Tons, I would assume.
Well, I heard it quite a few times in my 15 years there as a player and as a coach. It was a great run, and obviously, a huge part of that was Coach B gave me, revitalized my coaching career by giving me an opportunity years ago, and forever grateful for that. It was a great run, and obviously, that's when I. Strengthened my belief in him as a leader and ultimately what led me here to Champaign today.
Awesome. Well, we got a big basketball game tonight. You going to be there?
I'm going to be there.
Sweet.
I'm going to be there. I'm going to be pulling hard for the Illini and my family's in town. We're going to go check it out. Have a great experience tonight. Obviously, we've got some young men on campus here that are checking it out.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Junior day. So, yeah, you're going to have a great time tonight. Sold out State Farm Center, Michigan in town. No love loss between these two. So I think, Coach, you're going to really enjoy it. Barry Lunny Jr., new Illinois offensive coordinator, at Barry Lunny Jr. on Twitter. Appreciate your time, Coach. Look forward to visiting with you again in the future.
Thanks, everybody. I appreciate y'all's time.
Okay, buddy. That is Barry Lunny Jr. I knew I would flop on that pig Suey. I totally flopped on that thing. I couldn't find one on YouTube that pig Suey. I'm not even going to try to do it, but
you did.
I kind of did it.
It wasn't bad.
That's funny. That is good stuff there. All right. Good stuff. I can really jump on board with, I love the accuracy thing. Yeah. I'm to the point now where I feel like Brett Bielma has complete control over this program, and we've seen that with this hire. I don't think that Brett Bielma is going to shy away if something isn't working to where he wants it to work and say, well, just keep doing what you're doing. I'm in total faith that Barry Lunny Jr., who took UTSA to just monstrous strides, and I really feel like with Brett Bielma there as well, I mean, I think these two will get it done and figure it out, and I'm going to like this offense going forward. I really am. There's a couple offensive linemen that JUCO guys and a transfer from, Cornell, I think. I mean, there's some guys that Coach Bielma is trying to get in here and bring this thing to where they are, as competitive as last year coming into the season. So we'll see. And then who knows with Tommy DeVito. See what happens there if he is indeed the starter. All right, got to take a break. When we come back, more on Illinois and Michigan and Hans D. with the world-famous Who You Got. It is next. It is The Drive.